to come out tonight. If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 6. I would expect on a Sunday night service that everyone is here knows the Lord, and this is a message to God's people tonight. We've been doing a series called People, and if you have your blue sheet, as well as being open to Galatians chapter 6, we're looking at more on goodness. We've been looking at this subject of goodness. Really, for those who haven't been here, we've been looking at Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, which, by the way, is the last verse on your sheet, and says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." Full of goodness. Now, we're going to look at filled with all knowledge at a later time, but we're emphasizing full of goodness right now. And the title of this evening's message is More on Goodness. Let's ask God's help. Father, we dare not come to your word without seeking the illumination of your Holy Spirit. We pray as the Holy Spirit takes us through the word of God tonight, we might have understanding of these things. And as your people, Lord, we might be able to live them. Would you empower us both to see and to do the things which are before us this evening? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Think of a low period in your life, a time when you were really hurting. Did anyone know about that time? And if anyone did know about that time, who was it that was the most help to you during that time of hurt? Well, the one that helped you, probably that was not mere chance. The likelihood is that they helped you because they were the right kind of person. There have been people in my life where I've thought, wow, I'd really like to be like them. They seem to be so similar to the Lord Jesus. And when they've come to me, I've respected their lives so much that I've wanted to listen to what they had to say and take their advice. You see, they were the right kind of person. Friends, when those close to us, our family and our church family, are hurting, we want to be able to say the right thing. We want to be able to do the right thing, don't we? It's true. We're likely to say the right thing, and we're likely to do the right thing when we are the right kind of person. When people respect us because we are the right kind of person, channels are open for ministry. There's respect there, and so they're prepared to listen. Friends, if we would help others, and we're commanded to help one another, if we would help each other, first we need to be the right kind of person. Godly, wise, able to be respected, so that those we help are willing to listen to what we have to say. They're willing to receive the word of God from us. Of course, becoming that kind of person is a journey. I am not yet the person that I want to be. And I hope it's your passion to keep growing, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But what attitudes at the core of our being will help us to be full of goodness, able to say the right things, and able to do the right things to really help others? We need these right attitudes to be the right kind of help. Now, this necessity of being the right kind of person is acknowledged by everyone who writes on the subject of helping others. But most often, they say very little about it. Well, we need to correct that. We're on a journey to discover what the scripture says about being the right kind of person to be able to help others. What does it look like when the scripture describes the right person being as full of goodness? We have to be filled with all knowledge, as that verse says also. But what does it look like when it says we are to be full of goodness? Well, we looked at what the scripture said. We took the words full of, and we took the words filled with, and we looked at all the verses in the scripture that used those words. And we found that being full of faith, full of light, full of joy, full of grace, full of power, all those things were associated with being full of goodness. Of course, all those things come through being full of God's Holy Spirit. Then last time we looked at compassion. And we sought to be full of compassion. Four times in the scriptures, it says that our God is full of compassion. Well, if we're going to be the right kind of person, we need to be full of compassion too. Tonight we need to look at attitudes in us that most help those around about us. And Paul deals with that in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians 6 and verses 1 through 10, I want to highlight five attitudes that enable us to be that right kind of person, full of goodness. The first attitude that will ensure our goodness to help others is gentleness. It's gentleness. Now, I'm not naturally gentle, so this is something that I want God to help me with, to be gentle. I can actually hear people objecting, but you don't want to be gentle with a sinning brother, do you? Isn't what a sinning brother needs, don't they need a Dutch uncle talk, or don't they need to shape up or ship out some kind of lecture about their sin? Well, it's the sinning, wandering sheep that Paul deals with in Galatians 6 and verse 1, and he says it's especially with the sinning brother that we are to be gentle. Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." When we first sin, we choose to sin. But if we choose to do the same sin a number of times, that sin can become a habit, and very soon that habit gets a hold of us and that sin has overtaken our lives, so that the Christian, even the Christian, can come under the slavery of sin again. The sheep has wandered off and now they can't get back. It would be easy to be angry with the silly sheep, or to be stern and demanding that sheep must return and come back. But the sheep is caught by sin. Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." The object of that situation is restoration, to bring the sheep back with the other sheep and to restore the relationship of the sheep with the good shepherd. The attitude needed to achieve restoration is gentleness. For in the end, you and I, are just other silly sheep. We are not altogether like the Good Shepherd. We are prone to wander ourselves. We understand this, and therefore we can be gentle with others. We understand how easy it is to wander off and get caught in sin. We realize that. We know that we have to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. For the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. We understand these things, and so therefore we can be gentle with others. The attitude needed is gentleness. Now, I've seen both kinds of shepherds, gentle and otherwise. Consider a sheep who has broken through the fence and is out on the highway. Clearly, the stupid sheep is in danger. He shouldn't have wandered off. I've seen some farmers kicking stupid sheep and yelling and swearing at them. Others quietly and carefully get themselves between the sheep and the highway and then herd them back through the gate to be with the other sheep. Just yelling or throwing stones at them could cause them to run in front of a thundering semi. A Christian came to me and confessed that they were struggling with homosexual sin. Is that the time to start lecturing on homosexual sin? Haven't they come because they know it's wrong and they want to have victory over it? Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." When a runaway teenager returns home, is that the time to snarl, "I don't know if I can ever forgive you. You've really blown it this time. Coming home doesn't change anything, the fact that you're a hopeless delinquent." Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Gentle means slow and careful. Slow and careful. You handle a wine glass very differently to the way you handle a coffee mug, don't you? Slow and gentle. Slow and careful. Gentle does it. The second attitude that will ensure our ability to really help is care. Firstly, gentleness. Secondly, care. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you care, you will help your brothers and sisters with their burdens. The attitude behind that verse is care. The burden may be a sin that your brother has been overtaken by, as we've already read in verse 1. But it could also be a life circumstance, some situation, some grief situation, a major loss of some kind where they're burdened and they're not able to carry the load, the circumstances are too much to bear alone. This is the only time in Scripture that we have the phrase, the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But Paul mentions it like everybody would know what the law of Christ is. And indeed, James, in the book of James, talks about the perfect law of liberty as if everybody would know what it is. James chapter 1 and verse 25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this one will be blessed in what he does." Surely Paul, as he talks about the law of Christ, and James, as he talks about the law of liberty, have such things in the back of their minds as Galatians 5 and verse 13. Paul is speaking in chapter 6. Surely he's got in his mind verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." He has love in the back of his mind, doesn't he? Romans 13 and verse 8 is another example. "He who loves another has," what? "Fulfilled the law." Romans 13 and verse 10. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And Jesus said in John 13 and verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." We must, brothers and sisters, love each other. A helpful word to see what love looks like in terms of our relationships with each other is the word care. We care about what happens. So the law of liberty, the law of liberty and the law of Christ is referring to the law of love, the whole law in the New Testament, all that is written in the New Testament of what we are to do. So out of a heart of love and compassion, we will care when my brother or my sister has more than a normal load. That's what the burden refers to. It's more than a normal load, something that they can't carry alone. Now, not all brothers and sisters are that easy to like. Is that true? Amen? But we care about them and we help them. We bear their burdens with them. Verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We care about their situation. A Christian mum was deeply distraught at the way her children were going. Friends could see that she was distraught, and the church family could see that she was distraught. So one of the sisters visited her. She pinned a verse above her kitchen, a well-known verse, Philippians 4 and verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What was the sister saying? She was saying that if you rely on Christ, you're going to be able to bear these burdens, the burdens of seeing your children go the wrong way in the home. Is that the truth? Yes, it is. Absolutely. But what does Galatians 6 and verse 2 tell the sister to do? It says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." What that verse is saying, verse 2 is saying, lighten the load of your sister who is burdened and distraught. Lighten her load. I wonder if the sister could have spoken to the kids on behalf of the mother. I wonder if she could have met with her regularly to pray with her for the children. I wonder if some instruction on parenting could have helped. Wasn't it a cop-out to say, let Christ carry your load, when the Scripture tells the sister to bear the load with her? Understandably, the verse made the mother more distraught. Now she felt as a failure as a mother and also as a Christian. So she needed help. She needed help, not a lecture at this point in her life. She needed help, not just a verse glibly given. Just care, really care. Let the law of love and liberty rule your heart and you will know what to do. Yes, the same verse could have helped. If only it was used as icing on a cake of care. The third attitude that Galatians 6 mentions to enable us to really help others is humility, gentleness, care, humility. These are beautiful attitudes, aren't they? A spirit of gentleness, genuine love, and an attitude of humility. Verse 3 explains, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. The danger in helping others is to arrogantly think that somehow I'm the superior one and they're the inferior one. Somehow I'm like the good shepherd and they're just a stupid sheep. In fact, if I start thinking like that, I prove that I'm just another stupid sheep, because I'm showing that I don't know the way to go at all. The way to go is the way of humility. The way to go is not the way of pride. The danger in pride is that it cannot work the righteousness of God. Pride blocks the righteousness of God. Pride will instantly block any ministry of the Holy Spirit to a hurting brother or sister. What do we have to be proud of? Do we have anything to boast about? If we ever do anything good, isn't that the Lord working through us? And don't we have to say, well, it was all of God? Just take a look within and you'll see plenty of darkness there to humble you. And that's Paul's advice in verse 4. He says, but let each one examine his own work. If I start to examine myself, I quickly recognize that my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. If I start to examine myself, I will quickly recognize that even my best efforts are but filthy rags before a holy God. Taking a look at our own sin that no one else knows about ought to humble us. But we tend to look about at each other and compare ourselves with others rather than looking within. Well, we ought to look out within and compare ourselves to the perfect law of liberty, not look about and compare ourselves with one another. If only we looked within rather than looking about, we could get our lives right to the praise of God, walking in humility. Thus Paul says in verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That means, and not in comparison to another. So examine yourself. Be concerned. Be distressed at what you see inside, and then you won't have to worry about feeling proud. You'll find nothing to be proud about. Humility is a channel that allows the work of the Holy Spirit to flow. Humility is an attitude that will enable real ministry and help to others. Now, you can be walking humbly, and if someone thinks that you're acting proud, you won't be able to minister to them. Now, no doubt you've had an experience similar to me. A friend was hurting, and so we had a resource that we believed would help, but the book was sent back to us with an angry letter. Perhaps they thought that we were saying, well, we've got it all together and you don't have it together, and if you read this book, you'll have it all together like we do. But that isn't what we were thinking at all. We had experienced hurt ourselves, and we were wanting to comfort others with the comfort whereby we were comforted, and so we had sent the book. When people reject genuine help like this, it's probably more about their pride than ours. Their pride that will not accept help. Sometimes people hang around a sign around their lives saying, no help needed, I can do it myself. And there's a kind of proud attitude there. But it does underline how careful we have to be to walk in humility. Otherwise, we'll block that ministry of the Holy Spirit. Pride hinders ministry. The fourth attitude that Galatians 6 alludes to that will help us to help others is fear of God. A fear of God. Yes, an old-fashioned fear of God. Verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. Now, that seems to be in contrast to verse 2, which says, bear one another's burdens. And then verse 5 says, for each one shall bear his own load. So are these verses contradictory? Not at all. Verse 2 talks of a burden, a life situation, a sin that is screaming for help from others. Verse 5 talks about accountability to God. Each of us will answer for our own works. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. We'll answer to God for ourselves. Verse 7 explains it in a little more detail. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You will answer to God for what you do in this world. Therefore, brother and sister, fear God. You'll answer for what you think. You'll answer for what you say. You'll answer for what you do. Therefore, fear God. As you seek to help others, remember that you're going to answer to the Lord one day. If you serve to impress men, you will have had your reward. If you minister to please God, though no one sees you, God will reward you openly. You reap according to what you sow. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. You see, we will answer to God. Therefore, brother and sister, fear God in serving him. Fear him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22 says, bondservants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. We don't seek to please men, but in sincerity of heart, we fear God. Why? Well, verse 5 says, for each one shall bear his own load. These verses do not mention the fear of God, but they are talking about accountability to God. And if we're going to be accountable to God one day, the attitude should be to fear him. Most of King David's life, most of it, he feared God. But Nolan and I, in our quiet times this week, were reading about David and his sin with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And as we're reading the little Bible study we were using, the question was asked, what worries you about David in this passage? What worries you about David? Now, immediately, fear of God came to my mind. Sure, it worries me that he committed adultery. Sure, it worries me that he arranged for the murder of Bathsheba's husband. But normally, David wouldn't have even considered these things. David had been drifting. He'd already been drifting in his spiritual life for some time. And he was starting to be irresponsible. It was the time when kings went to war, but he was at home lounging around in the palace. Normally, he would have been with his men. And he was becoming more irresponsible. There was no fear of God before his eyes. That worries me. When I see no fear of God, that worries me. Danger is ahead. He made his choices like he would never have to answer to anyone. That is dangerous, because we will have to answer. We do have to answer to someone, and each of us will bear his own load. You and I will reap what we sow. Therefore, brother and sister, fear God. A man who fears God will not be seeking out the prettiest girls to minister to. Sure, if there's a ministry team and that involves ministry to a pretty young lady, sure, he helps. But his walk is circumspect, fearing God. God is watching. A woman who fears God will be careful how she dresses and how she touches men, if she touches them at all. It must be a holy kiss, it must be a holy greeting, and so on. She will principally be ministering to women. She fears God. She knows God is watching all she does. Paul explains the right attitudes as we minister to men and women, older and younger, in the fear of God in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger as sisters, with all purity. Of course we will interact with each other in this way, because we walk in the fear of God. The fifth attitude that Galatians 6 alludes to that will ensure effective ministry in our lives is loving good. Loving good. Loving God and loving good obviously go together. But in our service to God, we will do the good if we love the good. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I hope that the good that you and I do goes deeper than a project. Sometimes we can see someone as a project and we do good to them just to get a ministry result. I hope the good that you and I do goes deeper than that. I hope we do good simply because we love to do good. It's right to do good. If we are doing good just to get ministry results, we're going to give up when those ministry results don't seem to come straight away. But if we're doing good just because we love to do good and we know it's right to do good, we're going to keep doing good even if there is no ministry results. But don't give up, because the reaping will come. It is promised in God's word. Verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. It's good to treat the unsaved well, but it's especially good. It's especially good for God's people to treat each other well. And as we love one another, as we treat one another well, people ought to say of us, see how they love one another. And they ought to be drawn to Christ because of the way we care for one another. So Paul said to the Romans in Romans 15 and verse 14, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brothers, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish. That means counsel, that means help, that means speak to one another. Able to admonish one another. Able to help because they had attitudes of gentleness, of care, of humility, of fear of God, and the love of good. Can you see with those attitudes, it's going to affect the way that we interact, what we say, what we do with people. Able to help, full of goodness. Last year we helped flood victims in Queensland. In a similar disaster situation, a neighbourhood was given much help, much life-sustaining supplies and gospel tracts by their community church. One man was deeply affected by the help. He had been hostile to a church being built just across the road from his home, and he had sought to oppose it at council. But when he saw how the church responded to people in need, he said tearfully, now I've seen the church outside its walls. I've seen the church outside its walls. We need to love good. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Loving good, when we love good, we'll do what is good and say what is good. So the sequence is, if we can get the right attitude, we'll be the right kind of person, and from that will flow saying the right things and doing the right things, if we can get the right attitude. And all this that we've been looking at tonight is about having the right attitude so that we can be helping each other in relationships. Let's underline them. Gentleness, caring, humility, fear of God, and love of good. Then we'll be really helping each other. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we realize that man cannot produce these things of himself. Any human counselor, mere human counselor, might be able to put some of these things on for an hour, but they cannot live like this. Oh, Lord, it takes your Holy Spirit to enable us to live like this in the daily world. Oh, Lord, we pray that we would desire this. Lord, I pray that where each person is sitting, they would say in their hearts, would you do this, brother and sister? Even right now, yes, I want to have these kind of attitudes in my life. I want to be gentle. I want to be caring. I want to be humble. Oh, Lord, I want to fear you. and I want to love the good. Oh Lord, we pray that as people, as we, as a church family, commit ourselves to these things, that we will really be able to help each other to the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.